All right. Well, we're going to be in 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy, and we're going to continue and springboard kind of off of last week. As you know, we began with the title, I said, One Nation Over God. And we looked at some of those areas of where our nation has gotten over God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to continue this morning looking at this and seeing where we are. But I truly believe we're a nation, as brother back here just mentioned about that we're a nation over God. We're a nation that is fearful and worrisome and fretful, and a lot of people have a right to be, but we need to be a nation focused back on God. And that's the decline that we're going to see here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, you folks here, I know I look around and know each of you know your Bibles, but everyone have their Bible. Notice what he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times, worrisome, wicked, evil times are going to come. Notice verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, their truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, not able to control themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form, notice this, of godliness, but denying the what? The power thereof. And then he says this, from such turn away, turn away, get away from them. And then he goes on, and we'll cover some more of this in just a minute. But this is a decline that Paul is talking about to Timothy that we're going to see, and we're seeing it today, aren't we? Very clear. And you think about some of this, I don't know, maybe 200 years ago, 300 years ago, you would read some of this and maybe people would have said, well, not quite, maybe not, I don't know. But today, when you read this list of characteristics of these people, you go spot on. That's spot on. Now today, this morning, those of you that are following us, watching, we're going to see how we've gotten over God. We've truly let God really get away or go away. Now, let me start out with this. I found this. There was a Newsweek article put out back in 2009. Maybe some of you read it. And it was titled this, The Decline and Fall of Christian America. The Decline and Fall of Christian America. You can look it up, and I'd encourage you to do so. Newsweek article written by a man, last name Meacham. The Decline and Fall. He goes throughout this article, a very lengthy article, and I would encourage you to find it and read it online, just type it in. But he goes through the article and basically lays out and says, listen, and this is from a secular point of view. This is from an unsaved, worldly point of view. And he says, Christian America's gone. It's no longer Christian America. It's no longer a nation that is for Christ and founded upon Him and in God we trust. And he gives some statistics on how that the decline of church attendance, the decline of other things, of who they think Jesus is and other things. Very, very eye-opening. If you think about today, that's a nation that we live in today. Now, I'm not saying all this to discourage you, and I hopefully not. What is it to do? It's to warn you and help you. That's what I want. That's no surprise to us in America, right? We see that. I read this, the Christian Law Association recently said that in the last 10 years, the number of Americans that believe Jesus Christ was sinless dropped 10%. Now that's crazy, isn't that? That Jesus Christ was without sin, it's dropped 10, that's a 1% a year, right? 1% a year. Now, as we think about it, that's just lunacy to me personally. It's blatant heresy. Jesus Christ was not sinless. He is a good prophet, a good teacher, a good preacher. Folks, everything we're doing this morning hinges on that, doesn't it? If Jesus wasn't who He said He was, we're in a world of a mess. We're in a hurtful place. We're wasting our time. We're just having a little social club here this morning. Now, this is where America is. It's dropped. So we see here. Now, what do we do? Again, I must, as a pastor, warn you. Jeremiah chapter 6 says that the prophets and pastors have preached to the people. Jeremiah 6 and says, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And you've hurt my people, he says. And that's what a lot of pastors and preachers today are saying. And they're saying there's peace, peace, everything's fine, everything's okay, when it's not. We have an obligation today, and I do, to warn you people, that you folks know these verses and you know your Bibles well. But you think about today, that we have an opportunity here to serve Christ in a freedom and liberty we have still. And I'd encourage you to do that. Stay active in witnessing, soul winning, reaching people, especially Bible reading and prayer and all of the liberties that we still have. Continue to do that. But as we see the decline, a great decline. Now, let me say a few things here this morning. Number one, ungodly men operate under the guise of religion. Notice our text here again. In these last days, perilous times will come. They operate under the guise of religion. Now he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A form of godliness. Now you folks, I've said this before that you know this, what a form is. A form gets it ready. You don't set the forms into the ground and then build your house on the forms, do you? No. The forms are there, so when they pour the concrete in, it takes the shape of that form, right? This is what he's saying. They're forms. These men are forms, but empty. They have nothing. They don't hold anything up. They're shallow. That is what ungodly men do. Now, Jesus said this. Matthew 7, 15 to 23, he says, we shall know them by their fruit. Lord, how are we going to know the wolves? How are we going to know the differentiate between the wolves and the sheep? He says, oh, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll see. They're going to talk a big game and say all this stuff that they know and talk about the Word of God and how they love God. But he says, listen, watch their fruit. Watch it. Now, there's characteristics that are given of these men. By the way, Christians, shame on us for being in the dark. Shame on us for not knowing the Bible and not knowing Scripture and not knowing the characteristics of these men and seeing the world and America today going the way it's going and go, what? I don't see anything wrong. I don't see anything different. I don't see any problem there when we ought to look at these characteristics here today and say, no, they are performing and fulfilling the very thing Paul said. And we're warned. We're warned of it. Now, ungodly men, they operate under the guise of religion. I won't get into, I'll save it for another time, but the religions of America today. Do you know that America has produced, by way of religion, has only produced cult? You think about it. What does America produce? Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, all that, they came out of Europe, didn't they? What have we produced? Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Seventh-day, Pentecostals, Charismatics primarily. Now you think about this. That's what America has produced. Ungodly men, as we're seeing today, the decline of America operate under the guise of religion. Let me say secondly, ungodly men then, they have that form of godliness, but deny the truth. They deny the truth. Isaiah 29, 13 says that they honor him with their lips. Their heart is far from him. Now turn with me back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and see, notice what Jesus says here. This is mentioned several times in the Gospels, but I like Mark in particular. Mark 7. Mark chapter 7, notice verse 5, it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hand? I love Jesus. He says this in verse 6. Well hath Isaiah the prophet, prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people, honoreth me with their lips, their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Does that not sound like the religions of America today? For doctrine, for what we're to follow and heed and listen. It's the doctrines of men. It's the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as washing pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now, they had battled with this, you know, for centuries already, right? He went through, talked about how Moses had taught this, and you came back and you superseded the law of Moses and all of that. He said this, though, you lay aside the commandment of God for your own command, for your own doctrine. And that's what we have today in America. You know that. Now, some of you folks have family. You may have loved ones that are stooped in another, what we would call a false religion. I know I have many. And every time I bring something up, you know, they always go, oh, here we go again. You know, they roll their eyes or whatever the case would be. But this is truly what Jesus is saying. He says, you're hypocrites. You honor me with your lips. Your heart's far from me. You say you love me. You say you love the Word of God, but you don't do the Word of God. Ungodly men, they have a form of godliness, but deny the truth. And folks, it's not hard. It's not difficult. You take this book and read it and follow it. It's not hard to do. And people get so caught up in so many things. False religion. Joseph Smith took this very Bible, the King James Bible. He read it through. He was a religious man. And he saw some things that didn't agree with his lifestyle. And what did he do? He shut this book and said, I'm going to add to that book. I'm going to take out of that book a little bit. You think about this. Charles Russell took this book. And again, he didn't like how it didn't agree with his lifestyle and his way of thinking and his beliefs, and said, I'll go ahead and change it and make it different. Now we think about this. They have a form of godliness. Deny the truth. Deny the truth. Now, we'll see this here in a minute. But then thirdly, ungodly men not only operate under the guise of religion, not only have a form of godliness, but truly deny the truth. But thirdly, these ungodly people and men, they love themselves. Now notice what he says. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, if you're not there yet. In 2 Timothy 3, the very first thing he says is what? They love themselves, don't they? They love themselves. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Now, the fastest growing religion today in America, by the way, is a religion which they don't like to use the word religion, but it's called humanism. It's taught and pushed in our public schools. It's pushed in all of our secular colleges and universities. Humanism. Humanism is ruining our country. We know that. The idea of humanism spans history. Man's always tried to deify himself above the Creator, God. Above it. Now listen to some of these tenets or doctrines of humanism. There's some basic ones here. Notice one, the irrelevance of deity. They deny the relevance of deity or supernatural agency. They say there is no deity. There is no God. There is no person out there. None. Let me say secondly, notice the supremacy of human reason, meaning man can think out the answers to great questions which confront mankind. Is that what Darwin did? Well, I know I reject God, creation. I'll think of my own way through my own intellectualism, through my own ideology. I'll come up with my own. Thirdly, notice the inevitability of progress. This belief in progress is perpetuated through the evolutionary theory and its cultural application. Fourthly, science is the guide to progress. Science is a guide to human progress, a provider to an alternative to both religion and morals. You ever talk to somebody that they can turn you upside down with their science? Scientifically, the Bible can't be accurate, all of that. We go through some of that later on. And then let me say this here, lastly, the autonomy and centrality of man, a self-sufficiency and centrality of man himself. This releases man from all obligations to any deity, doesn't it? All obligations. And if there is no deity, there's no God, and he has no rules, and there's no consequences, and there's no a punishment to pay when I die, I can live however I want to live and do whatever I want to do and be with whoever I want to be with and have multiple partners and have all kinds of things and do whatever thing I want to do. Isn't that our world today? There's no consequences for anything. I saw something on the television the other night of a young man got arrested, and he had taken a young girl, and he had done it, whatever he did, and then killed the girl. And he was arrested and brought before the court, and he was pleading for his life. Why? He never grew up. Nobody ever swatted his hand as a baby. Nobody ever swatted him on the backside and said, you're not going to do that. He never had anyone in his life. He did whatever he wanted to do. And that's the sad state of affairs here in our world. Now, let me hasten here with some things. We know America is more concerned today about self than anything else. So, some things I won't go into here this morning because we have children here, but we know the America we live in. America was born a Christian nation, Woodrow Wilson said. George Washington said, while we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought to not be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. He says, although you're a patriot, that's good, but the higher is religion. Is a Christian founded upon the Word of God, founded in God we trust. Now we know that. Places material above spiritual values. So 2 Timothy again. So we see here that men are lovers of their own selves. Ungodly men love themselves. Lovers of own selves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now again, let me say this, and I've said it before, but when it comes down to it, the Bible here in verse 4 does not say they reject God. It says when it comes down to the crux, to the cross, to the fork in the road, they love pleasure more than they love God. They're not saying I deny God, but it says, you know what? I love pleasure more than God. I'll go ahead and do it my way instead of His way. I know what the Bible says. I know that what the church, I know what the pastor says. I know there's consequences, but I just can't help it. I'm going to go my way instead of God's. And that's where we are today. And we got to encourage you, those of you that have grandchildren, and those of us here that still have children in the home, working to encourage our kids, right, to deny self and serve God. Deny self and do what God? I try and help my kids often, and I'll say they have a question. I say, well, what do you think God wants you to do? What do you think the Spirit, the Lord, would want you to do? Getting them to think about, right? Getting them to think, wow, I never thought about that. I don't know what God would want me to do. But at a young age, they don't know how to do that. They don't pay attention to that. Yes, they do. Because when they hit about 18, 19, and 20 years old, you remember when you were that age and you had all these decisions to make. You go, as if you were like me, making bad decisions off of bad information, by the way of not knowing the Bible. You made a lot of silly mistakes. They don't have to, because they can come before God and say, Lord Jesus, please help me and guide me. Holy Spirit, show me which way to go. Now again, they love themselves. Lovers of pleasure. Jesus said we're to love Him with all our heart. Love our neighbors as ourselves. You know that. It started all the way back in the beginning when Satan said, ye shall be as gods. You can do what, being your own God. That's the first tenet of humanism. I can do what I want to do. I answer to self. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody. That's where we are. Romans 1 and verse 25. You know what Paul says? He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They served, turned it into a lie. The creature, meaning man, and also, you know, he goes on to say, animals and such, more than the Creator. More than the Creator. Where are we at today? You think about our worship of athletes, superstars, musicians, baseball players, and basketball and football players. Worship of these people. And whatever LeBron James says, we go with it. Whatever they say, we go with it. Because he said it. He knows. He has zero knowledge of anything about these things. And somebody behind the scenes is telling him what to say in his interviews, and he says it, and we have millions of young people that are following this ideology, humanistic ideology. We worship our athlete. By the way, you go back in your history books, you follow every great government or nation that was the most powerful and the most blessed nation, and you'll find out their doom was, their downfall was, the worship of self. Look at the Romans, look at the Greeks. Worship self, deified people, human beings, and all of that. Now notice what he says though. They will be lovers of their own self, they're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. They despise those that are good. Now hopefully that's us. We're the ones that are good. We're the ones that are righteous. You're living right. You're walking with God. But they despise us. And by the way, Jesus said, don't be alarmed. Peter says, don't be alarmed. James says, don't be alarmed. When they don't like you, they cast you out. They treat you poorly. They persecute you. And even to the point of death. Now, I don't know if it's going to get to that point here real soon. But I truly believe we're coming to a point in our nation where we're going to start being persecuted for what we're doing now. We're trying to abide by the rules this morning. We're trying to do what's right. You know, you said you were driving past several churches. Look like they're still at full capacity and other things. Listen, we're trying to do what's right, but there comes a point here real soon where they're going to step over their constitutional rights. They're stepping all over us, and we're going to have to stop and say, I'd rather obey God than man. And we have to face, you may get fired, you may get persecuted, we may close these doors. I don't know. I pray God we don't. But we may have come to that, and we're willing to, by the way. Aren't we? We're willing to do what God wants us to do. We're willing to obey God rather than men. Now, these individuals, although they have a form of godliness, they deny the power. And notice what he says here. Let me say this thirdly. From such turn away. From such turn away. This passion of this ecumenical coming together, right? Coming together. We disagree with that. We disagree. We publicly disagree with this coming together of all religions for the sake of one cause. No, my friend, our cause is serving and obeying the Bible, serving God, obeying the Word of God the best we can. All that we know how. And when we have these people coming together, well, if we all love Jesus, it's okay, come together. No, it's not. Paul tells me specifically to turn away from these people. You know what that means in modern day English? Get away from them. Now, we ought to love people. You know that. Love people. Reach them with the gospel. Be kind. Be sweet. And all of that. There comes a point, though, when you see these characteristics in an individual around you, the best thing you can do is get away from them. I know they're your brother. I know they're your sister. They may be a child, a grown child. They may be somebody, a mom or a dad. I don't know. Grandma, you need to say I can't be around you. I can't be around you. And you know what they're going to label you, right? Stuck up, fuddy-duddy, holier than thou. All of those things. But we're willing to take it. We're willing to. Now I'm saying here, from such turn away. From such turn away. He gives an example here. You know that. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Never able to come to the knowledge of, right? These people. I can't figure, we just don't know what God said. We just don't know what we're supposed to do. They're denying the scriptures. We have all that we need. It's said. Anything that God says outside of this Bible is not going to happen yet. Everything He's revealed is revealed to us right now. Hebrews 1, in these last days, the days we live, He's spoken to us how? By His Son, which is the Word. The Word. Now, understanding this, never able to come to the knowledge, never know what to do, never know where to go, never know how to understand. I just don't get it. Just don't know what to do. What's the will of God for your life? I don't know. I really don't know. Do you know you can know? You can know. Do you know if you're saved? Well, I just don't know that. Can we know that? Really? Had a guy tell me a while back, can we know we're truly saved? And I said, yes, the Bible says we can know in 1 John 5. Oh, no, no, no. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. We see here, Satan has counterfeits for everything God does. And the heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. Let me wrap it up here. The heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. We know that. Everything God does, there's a counterfeit. Everything that God puts in place, there's a counterfeit Bible. Actually, many of them today. There's a counterfeit church. There's counterfeit pastors. God specifically speaks, you know, to Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel. In particular, Jeremiah, and he says, listen, you tell those pastors, those shepherds, you've scattered my sheep. You've scattered my sheep. Now we see here, there's a counterfeit. Now what can we do? Let me just give you a couple things, just some helpful pointers. What can we do? How do we stem the tide, if you will, or how can we start the incline as we see the decline? Number one, let me say, it starts with me. It starts with me. Notice verse 10. But thou, you might want to underline that in your Bible. But thou, who's he talking to? Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. He goes on. He says, Timothy, you know what to do. You know where to go. You know how to handle it. You know what to be. It starts with me. It starts with me. He's reminding Timothy that in the midst of all of this ungodliness, he could remain faithful and true. He goes on later in the next book, in the book of Titus, to tell Titus what? Set an order. Titus, you know what to do. Titus, you know where to go. You set an order and do what you're supposed to do. Timothy, you know what to do. You know what I've taught you. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy, you know the Scripture. You follow through. The incline starts with me, at home, personally. Yeah, we see the ungodliness. Yes, I think about, Joshua, when all the people were down in the valley dancing around to a calf, a golden calf, mocking God, claiming and crying out, this is who brought us out. This is who parted the sea, this golden calf. This is who did it. There was one man, Joshua. He was up there waiting on Moses. He made a difference. Millions, we believe, almost, of Jewish people down there in the valley, men, women, and children. And there was one man up there. There was Moses on the mount, but there was Joshua waiting for him. Let me say, it can start with you. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your intellect, doesn't matter your education. Let me say, it starts with you. Let me say, secondly here, though, also, follow those who are true. Follow those. Follow those. You know, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Follow me. Paul will later go on and he'll tell the church, he says, as long as I follow Christ, you follow me. If I don't follow him, don't follow me. We have too much man worship today, like I said last week. They're reprobate. They've disqualified themselves, and people still follow these people. No, as long as they follow Christ. Now, follow those that are true. You may like to listen to somebody on television or on the radio or on your podcast or something. Listen, do they follow the Bible? And there's many, many that do. Thank God for these. Thank God for them. Brother Adam, his grandfather, he posts these sermons often. Thank God for people like that. Stood true. Stood for the faith. Didn't waver. You think about it, follow those people. You may have a grandfather, father, somebody in your life that follows the Bible, stays true. You praise those people. You encourage those people. They're transparent about what they believe. They teach the truth. They practice what they preach by way of their manner of life. They desire to glorify God in all that they do. And they're willing to suffer for Christ's sake. Notice verse 11. Persecutions and afflictions came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. Well, persecutions I endured, all of them, the Lord. Paul was saying, Timothy, I'm not telling you something to do that I haven't done myself. I haven't done myself. You know what happened there. Paul was left for dead. They beat him, they whipped him, they stoned him, they left him for dead. He got up. They went to go grab his body to bury him, didn't they? And he just popped up, you know, beaten, bloody, battered. He said, praise God. He said, I'm good. I'm good. What did he do? Go take a 2-week break? What does it say? The Bible says in the book of Acts, he went directly to the next city. Can you imagine that? I mean, the guy had to have been just hurting, and he limped his way to the next city to tell him the gospel. Now we see here, let me say lastly here, we need to then, as he wraps this chapter up, and I love how the Word of God is put together by the Holy Spirit, we need to understand and apply that we have a Scripture, a Bible that's inspired of God. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. There we go. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You and I have a Bible. How do we defeat these things? How do we handle these things? What do? We come back to the Bible. You say somebody comes and tells you to do otherwise. You say, no, I have a Bible. I have a measuring stick. I have a tape measure that tells me what to do. It tells me where to go. We know that. We've been through that before. I won't get into all of that, but we have an inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Bible right now today. Don't go home and doubt it. Go home and read it and memorize it and study it and share it with those around you and have confidence in the Bible, knowing that we've been given all that we need, all that we need. Do you know you have everything you need both to know and to do the will of God right here in this book? You want to be a blessing to your parents, right? You want to be on God's good side, kids? Read this Bible. Some of you are still learning to read, but get this Bible. We're helping our girls and we have the Bible on CD and we have it on our phone. We try to help them listen to it because the language of the Bible is different, isn't it? When they hear it, they go, oh, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. We're helping them get used to it, acclimated to it. You have a Bible today, my friends. Take it and believe it. Although the fastest growing religion today in America is no religion at all, God is still God. This ain't nothing new to God. This was prophesied all the way back. The book of Zechariah, Malachi. What? This is prophesied many years, thousands of years, even before Christ. We know God says, I'm still in control. I'm still on the throne. My friends today, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God's in control. Yes, it won't be peachy keen and a bed of roses from here on out. We know that for us, especially as Christians, but we serve the Almighty God. Don't forget, and I love the song, we're on the winning side. The victory's already ours, isn't it? He says there in the closing letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 15, we have the victory. It's already there. We live on the winning side. Now you start with you. The incline starts with me. Although our world's going down, which always has been, we know that from the beginning of time, it starts with me. I follow those who are true, and I take the Word of God, and I use it, and I apply it. I want to encourage you with that today, my friends. There's a decline. We know. People around us, they don't believe. I'm surprised this week. I was out and about. I'm just so surprised at people. They have no concern for God. Do they? Nothing. They're just walking about, doing their things, foul mouth, filthy, all the, no concern, no care. And it surprises me. But then I read in Revelation how that it's going to be that way. When literally God is raining down upon them punishment, judgment, the Bible says they'll be cursing God as they're being destroyed and cast into hell. This is the world we live in. Now let's reach the people around us. Let's be who we're supposed to be as Christians. Let's stand true, stand strong. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And we're going to cover a little bit more of this next week. But thank you for coming today. Thank you for those tuning in and appreciate you. Appreciate everybody. I thank you for your faithfulness. Let me say, we need to stand and lock arms together. There's very few of us. We stand strong. And our forefathers went through things we can't even imagine for this book right here. We have an obligation today to keep going with this book. Stay true to God. God's not quit on you yet, and He won't quit on you. You don't quit on God. You don't quit on God. You keep going. Stay faithful, my friends, okay? Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed this morning. Amen. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to share your word this morning. I thank you for those listening so intently, Lord, and tuning in. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that you've done. As, Lord, we think about our nation today, we pray for our nation. I know these folks here are praying for our nation. Lord, we ask that you'd help us especially, that we would reach those around us with the gospel. That's what they need. Our family members, maybe children, brothers, sisters, parents, co-workers, they need the gospel. They need to be saved. Lord, so many people walking around today have no clue. They don't care. They don't think about God, church, Bible. They're lovers of themselves. They're lovers of pleasures more than God. And I ask that you'd help us to reach those people, Lord. Give us your wisdom in that. And Lord, direct us now as a church. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, that it stands true, it stands strong. Thank you that we have the victory. Thank you, we already know that. But strengthen us in these days. We can get weary, Lord. We can get defeated. The adversary loves to defeat us and put us down. Give us your strength. Be with those, Lord, again, that couldn't be here. And guide us now. We love and thank you again, Father, for allowing us to meet together. In your name we do pray. In Jesus' precious name and amen. Amen. Thank you.